Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. You cannae beat the scran doing it, Marco's. This week, Martin and myself have been joined by midfielder Ryan Conroy. Here's what Ryan had to say.
Okay, look, this weekend we've been joined by Ryan Conroy. Ryan, how are you?
I'm not bad, can't complain. Good as I can be, really.
Good. So how's lockdown been for you? How's the last 3 months?
It's actually not too bad, to be fair, but that's a serious reason. I'm trying to keep myself busy, which is pretty easy. I've got a 3-year-old, so he's kept me kind of a wee bit running, but it is a bit mad. So, but as you say, you can only make the best of it, and I've just been trying to keep myself fit as, you can, as fit as I can, and as you say, try and keep myself busy.
Did you say the longest you've gone without actually playing football?
Aye, definitely. That's a frustrating part. I think you don't realise how much you missed it every Saturday until, well, obviously never been a situation like this. Normally you're off in the summer, but as it's frustrating not getting to play football, and as you say, I just hope it's back sooner rather than later.
Is it the actual player that you miss, or is it the guys that you play with, or what is it you miss most?
I think it's probably a mixture of both, because you miss sitting around the change room and along with a big, as you say, it's like a bit of boys, I think, it holds to my lap, and I've not had that now for the last 3 months. As you say, but you miss out the 3 o'clock on Saturday. Probably didn't realise how much I would miss it until you miss that buzz coming up for the game, and that's it. It's been pretty hard that way.
Yeah. Okay, so you just had your first season at Peterhead. How would you sum it up?
Well, I did enjoy it. I know, as I say, I played with a lot of the boys in that before, but definitely I knew they were a good club before I came, and I've knew Jim since I was maybe 15, so I knew what kind of club I was coming to. As I say, it probably ended up a wee bit frustrating the way we started playing. It was then, considering the group of points we've got. But as I say, it's all in all, I definitely enjoy it, and as you say, it's the way it's ended. I couldn't have imagined that on a sign, but I've enjoyed my time anyway.
And had you played at Balmore before?
I played against him a few times, and you always knew it was like a hard place to come. Every time I put it on and played, it's always a hard game. You know the kind of game you're going to get, but as I say, it's good to have a grass pitch as well, like that. I don't think I'd played in grass for a good few years. Home pitch is always after tough, so it was a bit frustrating.
The pitch is always, well, it always looks immaculate, which is always a good thing. Stanley does a great job here.
Yeah, definitely. I've always knew that the pitch is always in great condition, no matter what the weather, especially more problems of wind. I was able to kind of end up with that, but as I say, it's like the pitch is always as immaculate. It looks to the side, it's just as good on as it is, looks to the side.
Yeah.
Does that make it easier to play football with a good pitch condition?
Yeah, definitely looks like grass, you can see that as well, especially the players we've got, some of the football I like to play, it's always like, we find it difficult sometimes in a way, and it's last tough, because you know, it does change the way the ball moves and the way you try to move it, and sometimes we have to change the way we play, but I always prefer the grass, especially if it's a wee bit wet.
Is it difficult to adapt when you've got the plastic pitch to the grass pitch when you're going away from home?
That is definitely difficult. As you say, that's people probably an advantage for us now when people come to us, it's like they're probably not used to playing in grass, but I say, I think everybody prefers grass, and you can probably watch a game on it, but even when playing it, you don't realise the difference it does make, and it's pretty frustrating playing on asphalt.
Okay, let's take you back a few years then, back to your Celtic days then. You were at there with Gordon Strachan, gave you your debut as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he gave me my debut, yeah. That's when I actually played my left back. I'd never played, I only played left back a couple of games before that, so it was a bit of a surprise when they put me in, but I say I'm ever thankful to him for that, because as you say, there was a Celtic fan growing up as well, and as I say, it's something I'll never forget, but he was a great manager, and I think people can see that now in him.
Who's the kind of players you were playing with at the youth level?
Played with, well, Si Ferry, he was in my youth team, and Aidan McGeady, Charlie McGrew, they were the year above us, but we kind of played the year of me and Si, and I played the year above us, so trying to get Michael McClinchy, and I think he's in Australia now, I think he's still in Australia. But as I say, it's a great your team is brilliant growing up, and that's what gives a good grounding for where we are now.
What was Sally like at that age? Same as you?
Just the exact same as his age. Want to shut up. Pretty much ask MDA any questions, so it doesn't surprise me what he's doing now, actually, to be honest, because he's been like that since a young kid.
It was quite a successful time at Gordon Strachan Head at Celtic, so what was it like being around that kind of squad at that time?
I obviously it was amazing. The more you look back and you realise the kind of players that were playing, I think it was like Nakamura, obviously Scott Brown and that were all there, but you're training with their guys and that every day, like you just every day was like you learn so much just watching them, and even down now you learn watching them, but I say so you get every day and train with them, I felt very fortunate to be in that situation, but obviously wish I'd played more games, but in that case it was hard to get the fuel in the rain, like the kind of players that were there.
You got a full 90 minutes in your debut though, didn't you?
I think it was Falkirk were playing the full 90 minutes. I was quite lucky, to be fair, because I think the first 10 minutes I got cleared one up the line, and I thought the ref was going to send me off because people said it hurt my hand, but it didn't actually hurt my hand, but you know what the refs are like, so I think I thought it could have ended a lot similar. I was sent off in the first 10 minutes, but gladly I didn't.
Is that because it was a home game and you got the kind of the home?
Some people might say that, aye, but I'm glad it was on my side that thing.
Obviously, you had to move on. How did that come out? Were you obviously disappointed that you had to leave?
I think I just got to the age I wanted to play. I tasted playing first team football, and I just got to had to more or less leave and get away. So it wasn't, obviously, it was hard. I was there for like 11 years since I was a young boy, so then you had a lot of people there. But as you say, it made it better. You have to kind of move on. And then, as I say, I moved on to Dundee and enjoyed my time there, so I had to make the decision to leave.
And who was your manager when you were playing at Scotland at the youth level?
Trying to first one, I'm sure it was Tommy Wilson, Archie Gemmell, when they went to Scotland. So Archie Gemmell was some character, to be fair. So, and that's what I enjoyed going away with Scotland as well. We're pretty successful with Scotland, as you say, we've been signing that as well. So that was a good thing as well.
And how old were you when you sort of played in Scotland?
I went probably under-17s right up to under-21s I played through, but Billy Stark was the 21s manager when I was there. I'm sure he was a 21s manager.
A lot of decent players there as well.
There was, you look at something, I think the team had it was Steve Fletcher, he was a striker, you look at Graham Dorans, players like that, and they were all playing that team, and as I say, as growing up in the youth team, you probably don't get them, well, even the youth team are pretty good now, but the youth team we played them was very good.
When you're playing with players like that, or in a squad like that, is it intimidating, or do you kind of get a bit of a buzz off it? Does it raise your game?
I kind of raise your game. I think sometimes you're playing with players like, as I've said, you learn off the kind of players, but when you're playing with them, you do kind of like, they raise your game a wee bit and you try and get there, not so much a level, but I think sometimes you're playing with a better player, that becomes a bit easier they help along as well. So as I said, they get a good buzz off it as well.
So I assume you've got managers like Gemmell and Gordon Strachan at Celtic, did they help you raise your game, or was you quite nervous playing in front of them?
I think sometimes you get, even sometimes in training with Gordon Strachan, you would let a young boy get in, you would get a bit nervous, but then after the time you kind of get used to it. I think it's just because you get that kind of respect for people like that, so I think that kind of makes you a bit nervous. But as you say, you know you're confident, you should be confident enough. It's like football, you shouldn't be nervous about it, you know you're a good enough player, but as you say, it's the characters all, they do inspire you and make you right. Do well for them. I think it always helps.
You said you played at left back for your debut. You hadn't played there before. Did he give you any indication you were going to be playing left back, or
I'm sure it was a Tuesday night, so it was the morning of the game, and he was naming the team. Then he just named it doing look shape in the morning, Barrowfield, and he just named it my name for left back. So I was kind of never gave me any warning. I was going to start my outing and just kind of let me go on with it. It was probably a better way. If he'd told me, I'd have probably maybe been a wee bit more nervous, but. The never time we've been nervous, to be honest, I just kind of get chucked in.
Do you get nervous as a player, Ryan, or are you quite laid back about it all?
I'm quite, even when I was younger, I was quite laid back, probably in myself, but a wee bit nervous, but I've never really show it. I'm kind of just concentrating the game, but I think sometimes people maybe the nerves get the better of them, but I've never been that kind of person that's just kind of laid back. And as you say, it's your job, it's football, you should be quite confident you can go there and do well.
You said you went on to Dundee, 3 years at Dundee.
Two
promotions, one relegation. How was that?
Yeah, it was quite interesting. I think one of the promotions was because Rangers get put out of the league, and I think we ended up finished second that year and we got put up into the SPL. So that was a great role. I get told, I think, the week before that we'll get up. So we didn't really have time to buy like a team. So I think we were always going to struggle that season, even though we nearly stayed up at the end. But was a wee bit of a struggle, but I love my time at Dundee. I didn't realise how big a club it was really until I was there. Mm-hmm. The world I get some falling every week, even in the championship is I think 5,000 or 6,000 every week at home, so quite a big falling.
Was you disappointed in the how you left there? Having been promoted,
I was a wee bit. I had another year left on my contract. So I just left there then, but then I got told, I think it was Hartley was the manager, Paul Hartley. And he gave me a phone call just saying that I wasn't going to be in the plans, but I could come in pre-season and see how it goes. But I just kind of, I wasn't going to be in his plans. I didn't really want to, after being there for 3 years and doing so well, I just thought, right, I'm not going to be as kind of player. So I wanted to keep on playing week in, week out. So probably just a mutual agreement, really, to leave. Now, I was a wee bit disappointed, to be fair, but I see that happening in football, you have to make this kind of decision.
Was it the case that he had to get rid of you to bring in Simon Ferry, then, was it?
I know that. I think I made it a wee bit worse than I seen with the sign, but that's it. Like Si says, he knows he should have done better than Dundee as well, the type of player he is, but I think that's what I think they freed up my wages so you could get the big money on Si, I think.
That's what he's telling us, right? Yeah. Then you moved on to Raith Rovers, Championship again.
Yeah.
Another good year there?
I enjoyed my time there as well at Raith. That was, we done quite well, that same with that year, really. We actually started that year very well. I think we were top of the league or second for right until Christmas. Then we started to go a little downhill for the end. But I should say that there, that was quite a big club as well. I didn't realise when I went to them. I think it was grass at the time as well. They had a good pitch, but I think it ended a bit weird there as well. I think it was Grant Murray, I think he got sacked maybe in February. Maybe I think he got sacked and it kind of went a bit sour for there. But I don't know. I got offered another year there as well, but I see actually one making a decision to leave places, didn't I?
Which will lead us to another question later on, but we'll come back to that. but you started off all right yourself, you got three goals in three games, is that right?
I got off to a flyer, I think. I didn't do a pre-season because I was deciding what to do. I was going about training with other teams. I'd been down, I think I trained at Stevenage in England and that. And then I just decided to go to Raith. I'd been phoning me all the time, so I thought, right, I just wanted to get down. I try to avoid pre-season, that's what I was trying to do, to be fair, but I think I started that quite well, and I think I should say three and three games, but I think I scored quite a lot. I think I had 10 goals, and I think I had 10 assists the whole season, so it was a pretty good season to be fair. So I'm not even start missing three season the rest of things then.
Do you set yourself targets before the start of the season?
Not so much. I always think if you get any like double figures, like scoring wise coming from a team is a good season, even assists wise as well. But I say I never really set targets, so then I wouldn't even tell people the targets, but I always think the double figures you kind of try and aim for. Especially the amount of games you're playing that anyway.
I just want to say, if you're playing sort of left midfield or if you're playing sort of centre midfield, maybe the goal assist kind of targets maybe slightly different.
Well, as I say, sometimes in that position you probably prefer assisting, well, some people do, but as I say, sometimes you get the same buzz at assisting goals for people. But I say, I just try and chip in with as much, attribute as much as I can during the game going forward anyway and try and help with defending, but that's not my strong point.
Well, when I mentioned that either. For three years at Airdrie as well, plastic pitch. That was a decent kind of time for you, was it?
I really enjoyed my time at Airdrie. It was, even though there was a lot of complications happening in the background every time I was there, like, I think I needed a full podcast to talk about the amount of stuff that happened over the 3 years, but it's just, that's another like, massive club as well. I can always say they're a sleeping giant, but I think they're desperate to get out of the league as well. And when I was there, that was their aim when I first signed, to try and get out of the league. But I think they missed out on a lot in penalties in the playoffs in the first season. But I have to say, they're determined to get themselves out of the... they're determined to get out of the league. But as I say, we enjoy it now. I'm going to say again, it ended a bit so no sour there, but the way things ended there weren't great. But I think it's just a football thing that happens.
Was it the change of manager affect your decision?
I think the time I was there for 3 years, I must have played under about 9 or 10 managers. I think that's the way it went, but I think it was just, I actually got on well with Ian Murray in that position. He just, when he first came in, didn't really take a few of the boys, and I was just one of the boys, maybe wasn't any plans of it. And I said, that was fair enough. I'd never hold a grudge against managers, because that's their decision, and it's where they want to go. So it's just, as you say, it's a football thing, and it happens probably in every walk of life as well.
Is it difficult to adapt when there's so many managers coming through the door?
I felt more sorry for the kind of younger boys that are trying to make their way in the game. It must seem frustrating for them, like, just seeing managers change over. But I think that's the way football has become now. If you're not starting to be set, or your face doesn't really fit, you're out the door. So, but as I say, the younger boys, I think they felt it more than the really experienced ones, because I'd seen it before happen, and then you just kind of go on with trying to press a new manager. But as I say, as it ended up, young boys out of the team, maybe the manager doesn't like them, that affects them a bit more than me, but that's what you do.
Do you think that young players these days are slightly more impatient than expected to be sort of first team players almost right from the start?
I say, compared to when I was younger, I think you're just happy to maybe be training with the first team. I don't know if them. I think now it's just the way football is as well. I think it's just to try and get ahead of themselves a wee bit, and it's just to get pretty much frustrated. I think it's the other players at other teams their age playing, It's just that some things, that's not what the season's need to keep on working hard. But as I said, I think they are quite impatient. They want to just be playing every week, but it's not as easy as that. You need to learn off the older pros and just keep on working hard and the time will come.
Yeah. We've mentioned the manager, Ian Murray, a couple of times through the season for various reasons. What kind of guy is he? What kind of manager is he?
It's just he's very quiet, very calm. He keeps himself to himself, and his plans. It's more or less his way of the just nowhere, so that you just need to get buy into what he's doing. And to be fair, some of his ideas are great in football, but maybe sometimes I didn't agree with him, and I mean, wouldn't hold it against me. But it's just that's the way the kind of guy was, and I was just maybe if he didn't agree, I would never say it. But I'd say he is. He's like a nice guy, very nice guy down to earth. But I say it's his way or nowhere too.
Does his reputation sort of come before him, do you think?
What's that?
Does his reputation come before him?
I think that's what I say. Like, I know loads of boys that had been managers under him as well, and it was always like kind of mixed reviews. And as I say, but I think you get that with every manager. There's boys that are going to, it's like any job, like, boys are going to like him, boys aren't going to like him. And it's just, with football, you just kind of have to get on with it and just bite your tongue sometimes. And that's what I say. I think his reputation maybe did come, but I spoke to boys, and as I say, there's more boys that like, probably give me a good impression of him than a bad impression.
Does it make it difficult to work for any manager that's like they've got a way they want to do something and they're not willing to listen to what the players and the team have got to say or have their input in it?
Yeah, well, I think it makes it a wee bit hard. I think it's good if you and your manager have got a kind of mutual respect to each other and you can kind of throw ideas, because sometimes, most of the time, the players and the managers are just trying to help like, the situation, because at the end of the day, they're the ones on the pitch, they're the ones that maybe see something a wee bit different that they're seeing. A lot of them, like, he was quite big in like, video analysis and Storm said that you should be doing this, doing that, but sometimes on the pitch it's like a split second and you see it a bit different on the pitch. But as I said, makes it easier, I think, if you're in your manager looking kind of, if you get your opinion there, kind of listen to it as well. I think 100% that makes it a lot easier and less confrontational as well.
You said there that it was a bad ending, an acrimonious kind of ending to your time at Airdrie.
One of a bunch
of guys that were transfer listed.
Yeah, it was weird the way it was done, because I'd been there for 3 years, done pretty well, captain him for about a year and a half, and just the way, like, I think I just found out it came out in the paper saying, oh, okay, I slipped. Don't really try to say you can leave. I'd done all year as well, not saying you can leave, but just, really, we don't owe you any money, we can get you out. Don't really say next minute was in the paper saying, or on their website was advertised, like, they're all transfer listed, so the way it was done that way, it was just a bit strange, but I just say that's the way they went about their business, and I'm back in the pre-season, but then I get pre-season, it was just kind of like, training the younger boys and that, so it was time to kind of get out.
Is that kind of, I don't know, if you want to get revenge against them or anything like that, but when you play them, do you want to try and get the one over them?
No, it's always, I think every game obviously what I win, but as you say, when you play against your older teams, you always kind of want to do well against them, and no kind of revenge kind of personally, just want to play every game kind of the same. I wouldn't try harder against a certain team or that, but I said it would be probably would be good if we could give them, but we didn't do it too well against them this year. So, but that's the same. They're a good team that we got. So,
that must be quite difficult to take the fact that it came out in the press and the manager hasn't spoken to you, you know, face to face and a one to one to explain the decision and the reason behind it.
Yeah, that's what I say. That was a kind of strange thing, but I don't think I'd ever seen that, and especially at this level of football, like people getting transfer listed, and like normally like, you see that at the higher end of the game, like maybe on transfer lists and. If like, I say not to or knowing much about it, then I can see it in the papers, and like it was quite a big deal made about it online and that as well. So it makes it very hard, especially if you're experienced. You just want that kind of respectability to get maybe come and speak to you and tell you what's happened. It made it a lot easier.
Did the fans take it badly, the news, or how did they react?
I'm not well. I think Airdrie fans are quite notorious for being having their opinions and that. So I think. Never on the pitch. I don't think I'll have to bother about it, because on the pitch, I think it's sometimes you give the players a bit of stick. I think it's a hard place to play if you're a younger boy, but probably a good place to grow up as well as a younger boy, if the fans are giving you a bit of stick, gives you a bit of backbone and want to show them.
I read an article not long ago. I seen it, Jonathan Page, was it Airdrie with you?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
And he had a move blocked to come to Peterhead by the board, I think it was.
Yeah, I don't really know too much about that, but I knew I was in pre-season with him back in Airdrie, and I knew he'd been transferred. He was on the transfer window, so all listed even, so then he'd been trained with Peterhead, and I think it was all agreed then, but I don't know why. I think it was maybe something to do with money or something or whatever. they pulled the plug on it, and that kind of affected his career for the last year as well. So that's it. Behind the board, never realising what they were doing. The boys, they were kind of stopping them getting away or preventing them from like, furthering their careers. So yeah. I guess we don't realise, but I just think it's like, more to do with money and that, I think, as well. So kind of complain.
So you ended up joining Peterhead last summer. Who was the first kind of guy that you spoke to about coming to Peterhead?
Well, a couple of years ago, I spoke to Jim. As you said, I've known him for years, and he'd always asked me about thought about coming up, and I'd always like delayed it. And I don't know why in my head I delayed it at the time. I think it was just more like the travelling and that had kind of put me off. But then I'd spoke to boys, and the way the club looked after the boys that travel up so well, and it came up the night before the whole games, and it actually worked out better. But I spoke to Si Ferry, actually. I spoke to him because I went and had a couple of offers for other teams, but I wanted to make sure I enjoyed football again, because after the last year at Hillsborough, I didn't really enjoy it. So I wanted to make sure I'd go and play somewhere. So I spoke to Si and told him, I asked Jim, and then I said Jim gave me a phone and told me, I think it was the first game of the season. I came watch, was away to East Fife. And it was just for them. I think he said he wanted to come make sure I didn't put on it with 3 stones, so I wanted to see my face instead of the green or the ring. But he was quite happy enough with me, so we ended up just agreeing it to there.
Did you ever try and sell the club to you, or was you quite willing to join after the conversation?
No, I was quite willing. As soon as I spoke to Jim, I was just wanting to get started. But as you say, this is the start. I missed another pre-season there, so I've done quite well there. So that was the first game of the season, and as soon as I spoke to Jim, I knew quite a lot of the boys there, so I knew how good a team he's had, and then I knew how much the club looked after the boys. So it was an opening, and they didn't really have to convince me. I knew it was coming.
Did he make any guarantees that you'd be kind of in the first team to start? No.
Well, that's to be fair. I mean, he did say to me, he said, look, you're not guaranteed to play, you need to work your way in. And I said, I knew that. I said, I'll try and get myself fit over the first couple of weeks and try and work my way in. But I was confident enough, I knew I could work myself into the team, and he knew what kind of qualities I'd bring to the team. So I was just happy to come and get playing football again.
And I guess that kind of honesty for the manager is a blessing. At least you know what you're expecting.
Oh, definitely. That's Jimmy's always been like, he'll tell you what's happening. He'll never let's go back, tell you something different, then go and say something different to somebody else. He'll always tell you, if you're not doing well, or exactly what's going to happen. I've had respect for him for a whole career, really. So I knew I was going to get face-to-face value anyway.
And throughout your career and even your year at Peterhead, you've kind of played across the middle, through the middle, left and the right. Do you prefer any of those positions, or are you quite happy just to play?
Well, I was quite happy to play, but my preferred position is in the middle. I prefer, well, the older I've got, I've lost a lot of pace. In the wings, you need to kind of change your game, but I've learned to do that. That's how sometimes maybe fair playing on the right, don't really need to use your pace as much, you can come in the way as well. But as I always prefer playing in the middle, but it's hard as well, because there aren't many good centre midfielders. It's hard to work your way in, especially like Sack and that playing. Enjoy playing with him, and obviously you get Scott as well, Scott Brown. He was flying, so again, as you say, I'm just happy to play. And when we're playing in midfield, you get players like Sina, like you, the ball, and as I say, so I think we've got a quite good midfield as well, so it's hard to break in there.
I think there's one kind of criticism that we did have over the course of the year. There was that quite often the formation that Peterhead was playing, it got quite congested in the middle, it was quite narrow. It was either yourself or Jack Leach in the wide areas. Both got
quite
to come inside. Did you find that during games?
Yeah, I think we did. I think especially on Peterhead, it's a smaller pitch. You know, it's more congested. You probably get away with that away from home a bit. Like places like Clyde, and that you probably get away with coming in the pitch because it's not as narrow. But as you say, it's that's just probably because of that. Used to playing centrally, I think you naturally get attracted in. But as I say, Jim used to get frustrated. Sometimes used to say, "Let's stay wide," but sometimes I just get lost in the game and can't ignore that and go a wonder. But I think the right backs are happy when I go under, but that's their job to defend anyway, so don't really care about him.
There we go. And you did have, I think you played once, maybe twice at left back as well, covering for Monty Boyle.
It was near the end there, but I actually quite enjoy left back. You get a lot of the ball and the kind of games it is completely different to playing with. So the games in front of you, I find it probably a bit easier sometimes at left back. It's just maybe the defensive side it not so great, but if you get somebody in front of you like Jack, he walks away, so just get him a piece of swing for me, I think, and get him a game of running.
Is that just maybe, as you said, an age thing? Maybe you just kind of, your footballing brain, you just get more kind of positionally acute?
No, definitely. The more you play in the different positions, it only can help you, I think, really. The more positions you play, sometimes the better you get. So as you get into, as soon as you go to left back, you see how, like, see, as you say, the whole game's right in front of your face, and but then you get in midfield, you get your back to the game or whatever. You don't see, sometimes you don't see things, but I say I actually enjoyed being left back near the end of the season. It was good, sometimes good for a wee change. So I think at the gym, I was quite happy the way I played there, so didn't really mind it.
And the conditions of Peterhead can be quite changeable, shall we say. Did you get used to that over the year?
Aye, sometimes the wind is. Well, I knew that before. I played up there before, and the wind was quite bad. But sometimes, as you say, I think it was one of the games, I think the ref kept on playing it, and I was thinking, people are paying to come and watch this. I said, it's hard enough playing in it, but it's quite hard. I think Jim used to say to me when the first time, dude, like, this is a second half game, and I was like, the boys, like, what's a second half game? And he's like, just get the wind. Just get half time, like not down in the second half, still try and go and score a few goals, but easier said done, and then used to try to run against it. I must have got even slower to be fair.
the game against 4-4 was then, it was sort of postponed just before, or that's what I should say. What was your thoughts on that?
That's right. I think the ref, after he starts the game, he should probably try and finish it, because I don't think the win get any worse or any. You know. I think the players have just accepted this is going to go and that's the way it's going to continue, but. I say the ref made the decision was a bit frustrating, especially with the travelling and that as well. But if you think you've got to make the decision, you should make it before the game. I think we were told in the morning of the game, it was now because of the forecast of the win. So I think the ref actually kind of a bit of common sense. But at the start of the game, finish is a bit frustrating.
Just say, because obviously, going to Peterhead for so long, you realise that actually the win does die down as the game kind of progresses. Yeah, so actually, the second half probably would have been better conditions.
Well, I think even when they decided to cancel the game, I don't think the wind was even at its worst. I think the worst was the first like 5-10 minutes. It was quite unbearable. It couldn't get over half, but it did start to ease. And I think the ref just stood off the game. He must have been bored, I think, and then just called that a day. But it's a bit of common sense. I think he just played on. Didn't you? Not 45 minutes when they're hot.
He maybe forgot he had a night out or something. He needed to get back down the road pretty quick.
I think I had a night out as well. So I must have picked him up, I think.
And the Clyde game as well, Simon Ferry got sent off twice. What's your kind of thoughts on that?
I think that was the one right about Christmas. I don't think I was actually there. I was not well, so but I'd seen the video and that, and obviously the decision had been made. And I think even the first few games against Clyde, there was always a bit of bite and a bit of it. It's like the two of them don't really like each other. Everybody always says that, so. But I thought I'd get sent off, and I think he might ended up missing, was it 7 or 8 games? It was something silly. We'd never played for 2 months or something. And for that to happen, level league one, that was a bit mental. Then I think he was in trouble as well. I think he put something on Twitter about it, and I think we were threatening to give him another 2 games. So I don't think he can say much about it anymore, but no, I'm going to be quiet anyway.
No. The rivalry we've got with Clyde, did you know why it's like that?
I think even the boys, and I don't really know, I don't know if it was maybe last year they say they were competing against them, maybe it got them, and it was just like that. Even I felt to play against them, it was just it seemed that extra bite in the game. Even with them, they were just like more aggressive, more angry and that during the game, and it was quite mad to be fair. But I think we'd always done quite well against them, so maybe that's why they're trying up the game maybe against us or whatever. But say there did seem to be a bit of anger between the two teams.
You got 2 goals against Stranraer, a game that again the conditions weren't that great. It was probably one of the better performances of the season.
No, that's definitely. I think sometimes we see, look, that's probably frustration for us. Look, you know, the team we've got, we should have done a lot better. We should not be the higher end of the table. And I think it was just inconsistent this year. I think when we went in a run at losing game, or even we'd lost loads of games by 1 goal, instead of just getting a draw and getting out of there and kind of managing the game. But as you can see, their games like that, when we play, there's no many better teams in the league. I think we give everybody trouble. Even with teams like Raith Rovers and that, they're playing against, I know a few boys there, and they always thought we were the best team, the best football team they're up against, but it's just trying to get that consistency in it week in, week out. And as we went through a spell, maybe around about Christmas, before Christmas, we were brilliant. Then it just seemed to drop off there. But like you say, that game, that was probably one of the better games, and like you say, the conditions weren't great, but I think the pitch now was wet, and it helps us passing it. So that's what we like, you get the ball on the ground and pass it anyway.
Paul and I said previous months that it's the type of league where anybody can beat anybody on their day. There's no one outright team that's much better than anybody else. Did you feel that playing in the games at any time you went even away to Raith and Clyde? Very difficult games, but also games that you felt you could easily get something out of?
No, definitely. I think that's how you find it hard to get out of the league, because I think it's just consistency in this league. So if you're going to run a 2 or 3 games, you end up shooting yourself right out of the league. Because everybody, as you say, it is a hard league. Everybody's quite similar. Similar budgets, similar ability of players, and I enjoy playing in the league because of that kind of situation you end up in. You never know where you can end up in the league. Even the teams at the top, maybe our favourites have got, but that's how it's so hard for them to get the league. I think, as you say, because everybody just cuts each other's throat every week, but you never know the results in any game. You can, I don't think there's no many people that can predict leagues, the results in the league, if they've been on a cooking or whatever. As I said, in that, that's what I quite like. The league is pretty competitive.
I mean, defensively frustrating as a team that you didn't manage to get a run of any consistency whatsoever, really.
I was. We even say that, like, right about this time we had that good run, we were just like kind of saying, right, we should be able to be looking around the changing room, the kind of players we've got, like, we should be able to a lot higher on this, because you look at our squad, I'd want to say, starting at 11 and even the subs and that, there's no much maybe better squads in the league than us. What I say is it's consistency, and even as a team, we spoke about it, and you do start to get frustrated, and it was getting into football, probably the frustrations that we should be doing better. It's actually getting out and doing it on a Saturday, because you can, even in training, the standard of training that's brought in is very high. Even the twice a week boys are at 100% every time we're there. And we just know we should have done a lot better, but I say it's looking well now, so not much you really can do about it.
And defensively, I think we weren't that bad. I think it was just a case of trying to get the ball in the back of the net. Did you kind of find that as a midfielder, you could possibly could have contributed a bit more in terms of goals?
Yeah, definitely. I knew that. I think even Jimmy, I know myself, I could have done a lot better as well, but it wasn't through a lack of trying. It was just sometimes, maybe, as you said, it was frustrating. Sometimes we'd play in games, we'd be battling teams for like maybe 90 minutes and get bet 1-0. They had one chance to score it. We'd like maybe four or five chances and it just wouldn't get in.
Yeah.
The stage of that was happening for a while, and it must have been frustrating for fans to watch as well. But on the pitch, you're probably just getting as frustrated as yourselves, and that's probably comes a bit disheartening when you're playing as well. Then you're losing games, because at the end of the day, you need to, even as you say, even draw their games, it still helps in that league. You even get a point instead of like 0 points, but we know we're a lot better than that, and as I say, we just have to manage the games a bit better, I think.
How do you keep yourself, and how does the squad keep themselves upbeat, even though you're going through that kind of run?
I think it's just the older boys like myself, Daryl, Sina, they're quite like chirpy characters, so I think it's just trying to keep them moved up in training. Like, when you beat it, to try and not be too harsh, maybe have the ones on Saturday, then that's it, done with. And getting training Tuesday and just trying to be positive as you can, but it's hard as well. It's probably the young boys feel a bit more, maybe a wee bit more pressure on that. If you start losing games, start to fear a wee bit. But I think when you get better, you just need to keep on doing what you're doing, you know, because we're playing well. Some games we could win the great, we know that. But I think it's hard when you're getting better. You can sometimes just connect the training, maybe with the head down and that. But I think we've got the characters in the changing room, kept everybody quite happy, and you always are laughing at as well, so I think that helps.
I think if you look at the squad, I mean, man for man, I think anybody that's playing for Peterhead, anybody other in the league would take those players in a heartbeat.
No, definitely. That's what I say, because I know quite a lot of players in the league and other teams as well, and they always say that. They say the team we've got and that, we could be doing better, even when they're playing against us. So they always say it's like a heartless game against us. And that's what I say, a lot of people would think. Like, as you say, you look man for man, the players we've got, every team will come up. When they fancy playing against us, I think that's what I say. Sometimes we maybe made that a bit too easy for them, but I say, man for man, probably one of the best squads in the league.
What was your best performance in a Peterhead
shirt? Maybe the Stranraer game or the one at Clyde to the start. It was near the start of the season. We're down there 2-1, we beat them.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the better performances of all the boys. That was one of the days after the game where I think just clicked. I think we're kind of laughing after the game. Like, we could have been 4 or 5 up after 20 minutes. And it was just like you say, that's the way we train that as well. It's the way we want to play that kind of football. It's like, obviously, it's good to watch, but in that league, I don't think you can play that football week in, week out when you go to other smaller pitches and it's a battle. And I think you're still trying to play football in certain areas. But I say that one, I probably say the Clyde is probably the best to play in. But it's from North for me, it's probably the one I scored to, it's probably the best that I've played anyway.
The second goal in the Stranraer game was a pretty good team goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good finish for yourself.
I think I took Hank Jack was raging. I think he was going to volley it in the box, so I don't think he was happy, but I managed to take a touch. I don't even know why I took a touch, to be fair. I think it was about 6 yards out, but touch was lucky enough to stop in front of me, then I managed to see the keeper coming, so I think I just shut my eyes and throw poked it in the way.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that, as a fan, you sort of see and you know that the team's capable of. As you said, it's a frustrating thing for us, it's a frustrating thing for you.
Yeah. You see, definitely. You can understand the fans when they're getting frustrated as well. When they can bet 1-0 or get one goal, then as I said, but on the pitch, it's just the exact same. The week you're frustrated, and I think after games, even near the end, I think boys are arguing with each other on the pitch, and I think that's the show of frustrations coming out. But it happens if we're like that, when people get angry, it shows it means something. There's a loss of all the boys were just kind of like accepting we're getting better. But they did get a wee support as well, how well they're doing. I think Jim was starting to get a bit angry as well, so I think we're trying to keep him happy. And that's, as I say, there is nothing more so loads in football games, and fans will be the same as us.
So yourself then, you're kind of that age now for you maybe thinking about what you're going to do after. Any plans?
No, well, I've always said that the coaching, but I always say every year I'm going to do like coaching or whatever, get the coaching, but that just gets to the time and something not yet really appeals to me. But then when I see Si, like, I'm doing his coaching and he's taking the boys in that training, then you do then I start to get a feel for it. But I've not really done so much planning, and after football now I'm just going to try and keep myself fit and try and get out my career as long as I can, I think. And I know this is the feel, as I say, that's what I feel like now. Like, you don't realise how much you miss it, even just the changing room environment, the boys having a laugh, then a Saturday playing at 3 o'clock and you get that kind of wee buzz again. But no doubt in a while, so you do miss it.
How many years do you think you can honestly stop with?
Actually, I don't know. Obviously, when I keep myself fit and I can kind of contribute something on the pitch, I keep on playing. But when it stops getting the time, I feel like I can't really get through games, or I don't feel fit enough, or I can't contribute in the game. That's when I probably started back on my legs, start gaining weight, start getting a lot of pain on Sundays. So I'd probably, but I'd say, I don't know, I wouldn't like to put a number of age here on it or anything, but I'd rather just keep on playing until I start on the list.
Why are you playing at the same age as Derek Lyle?
Oh, I don't know about that either. He's a bit of a freak, I think. Like, he's, as I said, it's a credit to him, the fitness and the kind of shape he's in for his age, and you wouldn't, even looking at him, you wouldn't think of that as his age, but as I say, I don't think, maybe not so much, but as I say, I'll never say never, but I'd say he's a bit of a freak.
I think you see, maybe 20 years ago, if somebody was sort of 31, 32, you'd think, he's almost done. But yeah. Nowadays, I think, with the fitness and the genes and the diet and things like that, somebody could play 35, 36 and still be a kind of regular starter.
No, it's definitely, I think it's, that's what it says. Like, nowadays, I think the players tend to keep themselves a lot fitter than they did, maybe, as you say, it's like 20 years ago, and I think games, obviously, has changed quite a lot. So the boys don't come back in the pre-season like 3 or 4 stone heavy and have to run. They always come back in like good enough shape. So as you say, I still feel relatively fit as well. It was hard sometimes during the season there, I felt I wasn't fit enough, and it was hard to get myself fit, but this lockdown's probably helped me a wee bit as well, because I've just been getting probably fatter now than I was when I finished playing there. So,
is that something you've noticed quite a lot throughout your career, with the difference in sports science and the diets and the physios, the work that they do, how players keep themselves a lot fitter these days?
Definitely. When I first started playing in the pre-season, the players would come back a lot when they're 16 maybe, so they'd come back a wee bit heavier, but you had that 8 weeks and you'd get yourself fit. But I think most of the players come back and you really get a week of hard running, then it's really into the football and that, because they've already come back in shape. I said over the sports science and that, it helps, and I think it's just the advancements in football in general. You really look at it, everybody's probably athletes, more athletes now you get in football, and you see that it's changed. But I say is that I try and keep myself a little bit fit, even though it's hard.
And the way that the seasons nowadays are, anyway, you sort of finish middle of May and then you're starting again.
I think it's the Betfred Cup, so you don't really. Used to, when I was younger, you'd finish the beginning of May or the middle of May, and that'd be out of July. But now the Betfred, the first game's the 14th of July, so you're normally back maybe middle of June. 17th of June, 18th of June, I've been back, so you really only get your 3-4 weeks off. That isn't really a lot when people sign all that 4 weeks off, but if you've been playing football all year, it doesn't really feel much. The time you go on holiday, then you get back, it's really time to start running again.
So it'd be safe to say that you're itching to get back again then?
Yeah, definitely. I'm starting to, as I say, it's been a long, well, 3 months now, and it just got to the stage, I'm starting to get a wee bit, the day one running and that, but it's not the same doing it yourself, it's like, it's hard to go. Every morning you wake up, you have to go and sell a run. I'm starting to get sick of doing these 5 and 10Ks, not that kind of running, but it's an 18 tap it, so I know I kind of turn back a little 3 stone heavier.
We've spoken to some of the other guys previously, and they've all said that the WhatsApp group and things like that has helped. Has that been a help to you as well?
Yeah, definitely. As I say, the boys are always on it, like, having a bit of a laugh and seeing what other boys are up to, and it keeps it good, so you can keep in contact with each other instead of just not speaking to each other. But as I say, that's kept them up, and we're all still having a laugh at that as well. But I think everybody's the same. You just want to get maybe a date back and start training together, even like small groups or whatever, because as I say, it does, especially I've been used to my whole career being in like a changing room environment, and then just going, well, yeah, that doesn't realise how much you really do miss that, and that, but I'm just going running in my cell, and that's becoming a bit difficult, eh?
Is it more annoying knowing that or you're sitting watching the Germans and the French, sorry, the Italians and the Spanish are back, the Premier League is going to be back on the 1st of August, the English Premier League is going to start again. Does that kind of get you even more sort of annoyed?
It does, actually. I've been watching the games, and sometimes even I'm watching the German football, and that is quite hard to watch without the fans, and that is, but it's obviously better watching no football. But I say it does, actually. It's quite frustrating because we are kind of like the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen with years, things that maybe not be on the next year or whatever, and then obviously it'll be affecting people's like, kind of mental health and that as well, and it does feel sorry for people. But as I say, there's nothing you can do. It's like one of the circumstances you will probably never find yourself in again. So I think we just need to kind of try and be a bit patient and try and not let it get to us. But as I say, it is very frustrating not knowing what's going to happen.
Have you a preference as to whether or not you play behind closed doors, or do you need fans there, do you think?
They kind of need fans, but as I say, if it came to the decision to play earlier like without fans, I think we'd just have to kind of accept it from the end. But as I say, it's for our clubs to decide the kind of financial side of it. They need maybe like, the income of games to, like, for fans to come in and ever pay their money to like, keep the club running. So obviously, I wouldn't like that to happen, but as I say, if it came, we're just going to game of football, and now it's got to the stage I'd rather. I think I'd just play it in my back garden if there's no fans or whatever. Definitely. I think I would. It wouldn't bother me so much, but maybe that'll be worth bother.
Jim, giving you any kind of indication as to when training
rooms
might start again?
I think I heard maybe middle August, end of August, training maybe be starting back, but as I said, he's just the exact same as us. It literally changes every day. You hear something different happening every day, so I can only imagine how frustrating it is for him, because he must be trying to work out what is going to happen next season and get a team together. But everybody in the lower leagues are going to be on the same boat, I think, and it's going to be pretty interesting, I think, once it starts to open back up. But I say, I just really do hope it'll happen soon.
I think it's going to be interesting, the fact that I think there were a lot more players available. Whether or not that's a good thing for Peter Head or no, but there's definitely going to be a lot more players available.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be, as I say, you see a lot of clubs letting go of the players with big lists already, and it's a surprise some of the names I've seen on them, like teams like Falkirk letting the players go. But I think that's just the financial impact it's going to have on teams, and it just, I feel sad, I should say, it must be, even for the younger boys, it must be hard for them, they must be fearing for what's going to happen with their careers now, because there'll be loads of boys looking for teams, then maybe it'll be hard for them to get a team, maybe they're not known or whatever, but I say it's maybe not too bad for the older ones like myself, and that would maybe not a problem with that, but I do feel sorry for the younger ones now, because they probably fear a bit more than us.
The younger teams presumably want to get games based on the fact they haven't got any experience.
Yeah, I said it'll be hard because the teams that are trying to sign them will be wanting players maybe trying to test it, especially when they're not really get enough money to get a lot of players in. So I can see some teams are starting signing up players already, but it's most of it has been experienced ones like Stenish Wheel that have been signing players, but that's already the players they've had and they've signed them up. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. And as you say, there'll be hundreds of boys looking for teams, so it'll be interesting. But maybe could advantage Peterhead and maybe get some players maybe never thought they would have got, but just you're something anyway.
The squads, I think, will be quite smaller as well.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. You'll see that as well. You see a lot of squads going to strip right down. Even though, I don't think we'd the biggest of squads, to be fair, but that's like you see all teams, maybe 20 boys or that, and I don't think it'll be like that when the season starts. I think it'll be a completely different game, really, when it starts back up. It'll be, and I'm looking forward to playing my first game, but I'll not be looking forward to the day after. I don't think it'll be a bit like 10 man.
Okay, I think there was only a handful of times that this season works. I had a full bench.
I know. The smallest squad was. Yeah, it was. We always, like, well, that, once we get the full squad together, it was quite a lot of bodies, but there always seemed to be somebody had an injury or whatever, and we used to struggle to fill the bench, but it's probably frustrating for Jim in that sometime as well. But I say that it does happen. I think he prefers having a like, kind of smaller squad, like closer than that group. Probably, because I think for 20 boys, it probably makes his job a wee bit harder as well, because he's up to disappointing other 11 odd boys every week. So, back when you get a smaller group, to be fair, I think it's quite easy to play with.
Yeah. So, presumably, there's no sort of indication or plans of what you're doing next season then?
No, I've not heard anything up to now. So, just obviously, I think the next couple of weeks we'll probably start to hear stuff, because I think the teams will really try to start to organise for next season, plan a wee bit. But I think, I don't think they can really do that. And I understand that teams kind of do that. Even with Peterhead, they can't. I don't know what's going to happen, like financial ways or even when the season starts. I don't think they can start like maybe signing boys in the season doesn't start to Christmas or something. So, but I can completely understand. So I'm just going to be sitting and be patient, keep myself ticking over and just do the plans up.
Would you like to stay at Peterhead?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think Jim knows that. Jim and us decide, but I'd love to stay at Peterhead, especially. I think if we get a group of boys together again, I think we can do very well next year. So I think that's probably, you'd like to maybe keep the same group of boys together instead of rebuilding again. But as soon as this has happened, maybe make it a wee bit harder for them to keep all the boys together. But I think if we keep this squad together and kind of knit it together, I think we can do very well.
Is it going to be harder, or would you relish a challenge if, say, Partick Thistle and Falkirk are still in League One?
No, that's what I say. I'd quite like that. I just say Partick Thistle dropped in. I like going to the stadiums, like you like going to Falkirk, maybe then go to Partick Thistle stadium as well. But I don't think, as I say, Partick Thistle coming down, they'll find it hard as well, because as I say, they're maybe not up to buy more players in the quality as well. But they'll find it hard coming down, because I think all the team that does come down always find it hard to go straight back up. And it'll be a bit of a shock to their system. I think they'll be. I played them with Airdrie about a year ago to Bedford Cup, and I think we've beat them twice, so as I say, it's not going to be easy for them when they come down anyway, but I'd like it if they come down. You kind of relish that.
Good stuff. Right, I'm going to end with some quick-fire questions, if you don't mind. The first one is, who's the best player you've played with?
I'd probably say Aidan McGeady, probably him or Nakamura or Aidan McGeady, but I'd probably go Aidan just because he could take the crap out of him, do you think?
There's more chance of him listening to this podcast than Nakamura is, maybe.
No chance he'll listen to that. No chance.
What was the best game that you've played in?
Well, I would probably Dundee Derby. I think it was maybe St Patrick's Day away to Dundee United. And, but to be fair, they equalised in the last minute. But I'd scored. We're doing it 10 men. And I'd scored quite a good goal. Make it 1-0. We thought we were going to hold it on this. Scored in the 92nd minute. Make it 1 each. It was at Tannadice. But the atmosphere that day, and that was brilliant, and it was one of the probably the mixed games I enjoyed the most anyway.
What's your career highlight?
Probably say make my debut for Celtic. I say I had a season ticket holder there when I was growing up, went there every week with my dad, so to do that and obviously make them proud as well was probably one of my highlights.
Who's your idol as a youngster? Who's a player that you looked up to the most?
Well, I was a left winger, so I was just, my dad used to get me the videos, the Ryan Giggs videos when I was younger, the VHSs, and used to kind of watch him religiously and go and try and copy what he'd done, so I was that kind of player when I was younger. I was kind of like a mazy winger. I know you maybe don't think that now, but I was that one day.
We were all like that when we were younger. what's your best goal you scored?
It's probably funny enough, it's for Rafe Rovers. Queen of South, I scored that volley away to Annan, it was. I think it was a cup game, maybe it's one of the cup games at the start of the season. It was one of them as a corner, comes over at the edge of the box, and caught it. We'd been practicing it the day before, and I think I hit about 10 over the bar, but that's why I just seemed to connect with it perfect in the right of the top corner, so that's probably one of my better goals, yeah.
Is that the Paul Scholes esque kind of goal? Aye,
something like that. Aye, better than his, though, but it was better than his.
Is there any football ground that you haven't been to that you'd like to go and visit or play at?
I probably played it most of the ones in Scotland, so I'm trying to think of one I'd like to go and play at. Is that just go and visit or whatever? Or
whatever.
I'd like to go to the new camp. I've never been there. I'd like to go there. I'd like to go there for a game and probably get to Messi before they retire, so I'd like to do that.
See if Jim can arrange a pre-season friendly against Barcelona.
Nah, I wouldn't like to chase them about, so I'd never just play
that. If Roger's going to say money's too tight for that, I would say.
Nah, I don't think you'd be happy me asking for that, no.
What's the one thing you've done in lockdown that you didn't expect to be doing?
One thing I've done, probably running every day. It was never a thing I liked doing. I don't like running, to be fair, but I've been doing that every day, and I say I've been chasing my 3-year-old son about, so that's probably things I would have normally done on my work and then the weight training, so I've been a babysitter as well.
The last one I've got for you, Ryan, is there any TV shows that you've been binge-watching in the lockdown?
Funny enough, I watched it years ago, and it's horrendous as well. I started watching Lost again. You ever seen that, Lost? No?
Yeah.
I started watching that again, and I'm on it for the fourth season, and I hear it again, and I still keep on watching. That's how bored I am.
It's the end that kills it. I know it's coming.
That's what makes it worse. I know it's coming, and I'm getting angry the closer I get to the end, so I don't know why I'm doing it myself, to be honest.
It makes less sense now than it did whatever it was.
Lockdown's getting the best of me, I think, actually.
Excellent stuff, Ryan. Thanks very much, Ryan, for coming on.
Right, well, that's perfect. Thanks a lot for having us.
No problem. Cheers.
Ryan Conroy there, who joined us earlier. A big thank you to Ryan for taking the time to speak with us. Our thanks go to our sponsor, Marco's Chipper, and of course to you guys for listening. That's it for this episode. We'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.